Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday, and I got to admit, I just watched the Brewers win a big one against the Dodgers, taking 2 out of 4 from the Dodgers. I mean, that's just some gritty, gritty work from the Brew Crew. Coming back today, taking back those two games after losing those first two. Really, hey, come on now. Let's salute to the Brewers. Now, it ain't Brewers Daily. It's Packers Daily, I understand. And the Packers are on their way to Denver. They may have landed by now, but set to have their joint practice tomorrow with the Broncos and then the preseason game Sunday night. Reminder for you, I will be doing a live watch party of the preseason game Sunday evening. So join me here on the YouTube channel. We'll talk about everything going on with the game and anything else you want to talk about as the get into the second half of a preseason game. Things can bog down sometimes. So hopefully you'll keep me company as we watch the Packers sort out some of these position battles. And no bigger battle, I contend, heading into this game than the backup quarterback spot. Really feels like Michael Pratt, the rookie, has a chance to make a move here. I understand that, there's ways to go still, even after this preseason contest. They've got another practice. They got another joint practice and another preseason game. But it was encouraging to see Pratt get time with the twos this week. Obviously, Jordan Love still practiced, but Clifford will start on Sunday night, and Pratt should get a significant amount of time out on the field. Going to be fascinating to see, A, what kind of calls he gets, what he's asked to execute, operate, what have you, within the offense. But just what he does with this moment, I think, is going to be telling as far as maybe he is a year away and they stash him away on the practice squad, or he makes enough noise to make it difficult for them to do so because he puts so much good stuff on tape that they're worried at the game's most important position. If they expose him to the waiver wire and try and get him on the practice squad, maybe someone swoops in and grabs him. I don't think that's really a worry for most positions, but at quarterback, in a league where quarterback play, and how many times have we watched starters go down, then backups go down. Last year, how many guys ended up starting a game in the NFL? Depth has never been more paramount. And the idea of showing out in this preseason game and making it a much more difficult choice for Brian Gutekunst to cut down time, got to think that's going to be on the rookie's mind. It's going to go out there, hopefully put on a show and make things tough on the GM. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Hope you're all doing well. Mixing it up. Hope you all got to see that Brewers game. That was awesome sauce. Guitar Ted, how you doing, man? I was in Chicago this past weekend and felt kind of dirty about that. Need a cleansing from Nags and the Packers Daily. Go Pack Go. We're here for you, buddy. And look, I lived in Chicago for many years. Right out of high school, I went to DePaul University. And I got to say, I love the city of Chicago. I love Chicago. Loved living in Chicago. Loved everything about the city. It's just good times when the Packers play the Bears and you're there and you can, especially lately, lord it over them. I mean, that's just fun times, man. That's just goodness. Overpowered by Monk. How are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. How about them Brewers, though? Let's go. Good shit, man. Good shit. Absolutely. You'd love to see it. Wow. Wasn't prefaced by Random Packer, but Mao Kiper Jr., what a handle. Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter. Has just listed Kingsley Keke. No other mention, no Random Packer mention, just Kingsley Keke. I love it. I love a good Kingsley Keke reference. We all know. Brewers win and have a 9-game lead, and the NFL season is just around the corner. Life is good. Logan, you are not lying. Things are in a decent spot. Also, before I forget, want to let everyone know that they can go check out the new Carry the G Radio. Billy and I just got done recording it. It went up on the YouTube channel about a half hour ago. It'll be also on all the various podcast platforms. Make sure you check it out. We talked a lot about position battles and what we expect to see in Denver and essentially what, things might kind of shake out towards the week 1 game in Brazil. Make sure you check it out. Billy and I love doing Carry the G Radio, and we will be back on the radio by week 1. So when I get back from Brazil, we'll probably have our first kind of session there on that Tuesday afternoon. So I hope you'll tune in for that. We will still be simulcasting on the YouTube channel here for Cheesehead TV. So if you're not in the Wisconsin area, you can still check it out live. And before we get going, before I dive into more of your questions, of course, I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, on our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster or StubHub or SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. I know you want to watch the green and gold in person. Jim, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Today, Wes and Spoff talked about the importance of wide receivers blocking. I remember that being emphasized when Edgar Bennett was coach. Was it important before? Before Edgar Bennett was coach? That's an interesting question, because I know it was certainly talked about, certainly somewhat emphasized, but I don't think there was as much importance placed on it in the past, like prior staffs, prior to kind of later years. And the idea of being able to utilize formation and condensing things and then using those wide receivers to spring big runs and use wide receivers to come in and essentially crack down on, you know, defensive end or an outside backer, things of that nature. They certainly seem to be under the microscope a whole hell of a lot more. And certainly under LaFleur, the importance has ratcheted up, because it is zero doubt that they very much make that an important part of the equation. You know, the only guy I've ever seen while LaFleur has been in town who could get away with maybe not giving maximum effort and still, you know, seeing plenty of playing time was Davante Adams. And that didn't mean Davante wasn't, you know, at least willing. He was a willing blocker, but he was never really a throw you out the club kind of guy on the perimeter there. Like, he was certainly getting in the way of people and certainly doing what was asked in that regard. But he's like the one dude that I can recall the entire time Matt's been in town where, if you haven't given your all, if you're not a dog in the run game, then you're probably not going to see the field very much, because it is very, very important that you do so, if for no other reason than you want, obviously, to be productive in the ground game, and wide receiver blocking is the key to making like 5 or 4 or 6 yard gains turn into 15 or 20 yard gains. But also, I recall something that Jordy Nelson talked about when I interviewed him earlier this offseason. The more you're out there and the more you are involved in the blocking, the more you are getting after these corners and safeties, well, then it becomes that much more effective on a play action play where you're coming up on said corner and he thinks, oh, here we go again. And all of a sudden you're by him, right? And you're flying down the field or you're working across the middle. And all of a sudden he's trailing and going, oh no, I thought I was getting blocked, you know? So yeah, I think there's a huge importance placed on it now, probably more so than in the past. Brad, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. What a hellish offseason for the Vikings. I mean, that is a tough one on Addison yesterday, but I will say fortunately, because you never want to see guys get injured. You want to beat teams at their best. Sounds like it's not too serious, and he will be back sooner rather than later. I know they had a big scare because he went off on the cart, but it does sound like he'll be somewhat all right, which is good. Steve, what's up, man? Dubose was a lead blocker on Wilson's TD. Crazy. I mean, that is a perfect example of that dog mentality they like to talk about. Throwing guys out the club, getting them moving space, you know, and creating opportunity for your running back. Because, look, there's almost always going to be contact. It's rare on any play where a back doesn't feel some kind of resistance from the defense. But anything you can do to increase that percentage of, all right, I've got an opportunity to gain a few more yards because the wide receiver has done his job, you just love to see it. Aaron, thanks for the super chat. Final first time visiting Lambeau, 11-24 versus San Francisco. Mom's a Niner fan, and I'm taking her. Go Pack, go. Final first time. I think, is this, you mean first time? And is it with your mother, who's a Niners fan? Well, Aaron, guess what? I'm going to be in attendance too. So make sure you give me a shout out on social, and we'll find each other prior to kickoff. outside, and I'll get to say hello to you and your mother, and I will commend her on raising such a fine young man who would take her to such a contest, knowing that you will be diametrically opposed for about 3 hours. That's strong stuff right there. What else we got here, folks? Dennis, will anyone adjust their NFC North predictions now that J.J. McCarthy is done for the season? I seriously doubt it. I don't say that to shade J.J. in any way, shape, or form, but I just don't see a rookie quarterback swinging things that significantly. And I do think he, like I said yesterday, played well in that first preseason game, no doubt about it. But the NFL, that first year, especially if you get thrown to the wolves, it's tough. And there's no doubt that I think, you know, they weren't going to start him week one. I do think, regardless of how well he might have played throughout preseason, I think he was going to be on the bench at least to start. And so any predictions NFC North-wise, I don't think are really going to change. What else we got here, folks? Oh, Sigma, thanks for checking out Carry the G Radio. Really, really appreciate it. Carrie Bishop, thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Appreciate you. In Indiana, Northeast Indiana here, watching Cheesehead TV. Well, that's what I like to see. Also, I got to let people know, picked up both Madden and college football today, and I will be doing a ton of streaming of both on our Twitch channel. So if you're not following Cheesehead TV on Twitch, make sure you do so, because I'm going to start that up next week. Certainly, maybe even tomorrow afternoon. We'll see, depending on how busy I am. But I'm going to start doing a lot of that, because you know, it's fun and it keeps me out of trouble, and it's football, so why not? Let me see. Brandy, what's up? Nags, why are the Packers, Goot, now so interested in quality linebackers? Seems it never mattered before. I don't think it never mattered. I just think positionally what they're going to ask these guys to do in this scheme is a little different, right? So you're going to look at different types. So that would explain probably the draft capital at the position, especially the Cooper selection. But look, they're still throwing McDuffie and Wilson out there along with Quay Walker, who is obviously a former first-round pick. But it's not like they've taken some wild swing at the position. I think they've fortified it with some draft capital, but it's not like they've spent a ton of money in free agency. They're starting McDuffie and Wilson, who are already on the squad. And last year, you may have probably said, if I remember correctly, Brandy, that they weren't great shakes at the linebacker position. So I don't think the philosophy has changed very much. I do think new scheme, investment in the position, let them being Hopper and Cooper kind of grow within the system. I think that's smart, right? It makes sense. But I don't think there's been some massive shift in how they view the position as far as the value, you know, and having it probably not on the same tier value-wise as edge rusher or cornerback, because it's not in the modern game. Jeremy, how are you, man? Hey, Nags, it's been a long time since I've been on. How you doing? Random Packer, Dewan Harris. I love that guy, and I'm not quite sure why they got rid of him. Seemed he got put on kickoff duty, and that was the end. Dewan Harris was set to be a star until they drafted Eddie Lacy. I will always contend that. I know he was somewhat limited athletically, comparison to like first-round, second-round picks, what have you, but yeah, I love Dewan as a player. I love him as a dude. It's just unfortunate that, you know, Lacy got drafted and that kind of relegated him. It's just unfortunate timing, but I'm with you, man. I really liked his game and I wish he would have got more of a chance. Saw another running back added. Daniel, that's just bodies. They had two backups injured, so they needed somebody else to get through practice in this preseason game. Doesn't mean anything about AJ Dillon. Doesn't mean anything about Emmanuel Wilson. It does mean that Marshawn Lloyd is still on the, you know, on the shelf with an injury, and two other guys are shelved with injuries. So they needed somebody to get through practice, essentially. I wouldn't look anything into that. Duke, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream. Most underrated player at training camp is, oh, I love these. Underrated player at camp. Whew, that's a good one. That is a good one. I'll probably say Ben Sims. I think he's had a really, really good camp, and no one's really talking about it because Joel Wilson went out on Saturday and played very well in that Browns game, but that has kind of relegated any talk of Sims, who I think has had a really strong camp. So I do kind of find it fascinating how these next 2 weeks, or this next week, 10 days really, is going to probably determine how many of those tight ends get kept on the roster. I don't think Tyler Davis ain't going anywhere. They love him on special teams, but I do think Wilson and Sims are going to battle for what might be the final tight end spot. But yeah, I will say Sims has been really, really good and really solid. Ron, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Do we sign Bakhtiari for a team-friendly deal? I would be absolutely shocked. And look, it doesn't really matter until he can pass a physical, and right now it's very obvious that he can't. So once he's able to at least get to a team and run a physical, a test, or try out for somebody, it's really kind of a moot point, you know? But even if he were suddenly like declared the peak of health, it does feel like that ship has sailed. You know, and it's always tough. It's business. And I know David probably, I got to think, and I'm just guessing, probably feels a little bitter about it, but you know, you're always moving forward, and you're certainly, with the Packers, have found a very good replacement, at least with Rashid Walker. So I don't think the Packers would go that route unless there was a spate of injuries, desperation hits, and now David's suddenly available. Maybe they make that phone call. Hey, come help us, you know, make a run at it. But again, it feels like that ship has sailed. Dennis, thanks again, man. Will Hicks make the roster? I tend to doubt it. That's a really deep position. And as fun as he is at times, and he certainly flashed moments throughout training camp, certainly had a play or two in the preseason game, I just can't see it. I think they're way too stacked at that position. With the emergency QB rule, would that make it more likely that Green Bay rosters three quarterbacks? Guitar Ted, that is an excellent question. You know, I think it's a possibility. I know Pete Doherty had them keeping three in his 53-man roster prediction that went up at the Green Bay Press Gazette overnight. I'll be very surprised. You know, yes, could they? It's, you know, to your point, like with the new rule, yeah, there's a potential for it, but I got to think they're going to find the ability to roster somebody at another position that can help them on special teams, probably more important than, okay, if we get down to that third QB, we're in a world of hurt, right? At least for that game. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Is it possible? Yes, 100%. But I still think they'll go with two. But we'll see. We're here in a couple weeks. Do you think teams will keep more defensive backs, tight ends, linebackers, or wide receivers because of the new kickoff rules? I think linebackers are certainly going to probably feel that effect. I think tight ends, yes. I'm interested to see if running backs get more kind of play simply because of, you know, the somewhat scrum-like nature of the return game now. Maybe they want people who are used to having to get skinny, right, and kind of make something out of nothing. But I think we're going to see a lot of trial and error through, especially like the first month of the season. And it might play into, you know, roster makeups a little bit. I don't think it'll be very drastic, though. I don't think you're going to see some team keep like eight linebackers so that they can utilize them on teams, you know. Bumpo, what's up? Nags, last year we heard a lot about the increase in team speed. Is it still there? They're certainly flying around. They certainly look fast as hell. It's hard to say if it's like increased yet again. I don't think that's the case, but they certainly look young and spry, which is going to happen, right, when you have the youngest team in the league yet again, which they are on track to do. But look, with guys like Christian Watson, Bo Melton, even Jaden Reed, it does pop in a different way than it did when you had Alan Lazard out there running routes. You know, that's no shade to Lazard, but it's just night and day. I think where the difference is noticeable comparison to last year's team is at safety. I mean, Javon Bullard and Evan Williams are in another universe comparative to Darnell Savage and Rudy Ford and a rookie Anthony Johnson Jr., though I think Anthony Johnson Jr. has played extremely well this summer in this scheme. It's just very, very noticeable, especially when they're coming down into the box, making plays sideline to sideline, doing the things, taking really good angles from middle of the field and kind of closing off the angles for the running backs, it's just noticeable. That speed has really popped, and that's something that certainly wasn't occurring last year. Rick Harris. Oh, here we go. Talked about this a little bit yesterday. Crosby can hit the landing zone, and the dude is money 50 yards and in. Is he, Rick? Because he wasn't there for the Giants at the end of the year, which could have helped the Packers. I'm not bitter at all. At all. I hear you. The Crosby thing's not going to happen, though. As much as that would be a fun story, the narrative would be great, it is not going to happen. Oh, Cheeto. Thanks, brother. Super chat for a super daily. Nags keeping it real. I try, man. All I can do is try. All I can do is the attempt. And I appreciate each and every one of you hanging out with me while I do it. All right, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Like I said, please check out the new Carry the G Radio, the podcast. Billy and I have a great time yucking it up, and you guys tuning in. And essentially, I went from Billy telling me he has people coming up to him every day at practice while he's like on a break on the radio, telling them how much they enjoy Carry the G Radio. So that means the world to him. It means the world to me. The fact that you guys are listening at all is amazing. The fact that you're here chatting every day is incredible. Thank you so much. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.